What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Worst loss of the season for my money, because every aspect of the game was not represented well. They didn't run the base as well. Left side of the infield is an absolute mess. The bullpen comes out with, instead of a fire extinguisher, they come out with a gas can and matches. I mean, there's still nobody behind Aaron Judge. We can all identify the Yankees' flaws right now, because for the most part, Sal, the flaws of the Yankees have been very similar over the years. A little slow, even though they're more athletic this year, but not a great athletic team, not great clutching. Everybody knows that. So what I'm saying is this. Something's got to change in terms of the messaging. So today, and I don't think that this will happen, but what I think should happen is there needs to be a repercussion that's felt two ways. Number one, and I love the kid, but I got to keep it real. When Anthony Volpe gets to the ballpark today, Anthony Volpe's not starting. He's not playing. And I'm going to show Mark Leiter enough respect to not even have him go to the ballpark because I'd cut him. And, like, I'm honestly not even trying to be a wise-ass here. Like, you cannot play this poorly, whether it's the Angels series. I mean, myriad mistakes on the bases, just shoddy deep. The defense has been bad. You can't let this go unchecked. You've got to have some penalty.
The defense is supposed to be the thing because, like, you know, we heard about the plan B. And, okay, well, moving Soto, now they get pieces that fit better. We also knew coming into the year they did not have a third baseman. They still don't have a third baseman. And you heard the comments from Jazz Chisholm after the game yesterday. He clearly is frustrated with having to be moved from second base to third base. The New York Yankees should be better than that. I'm not opposed to holding guys accountable or making some moves, whether it's cutting Leiter or sending Volpe down. Like, you know, the idea that Volpe's just getting... BT, I said it like 3 weeks ago. Volpe's a boss. We got to realize that. He's only gotten worse since then.
He's fallen apart lately.
He's crumbling down. Now, here's where I'll be a voice of reason for a second. The Jazz third base thing is an easy fix. Move Jazz to second. Play LeMahieu for now at third or whatever. Whoever you want to put there. Whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then go get a third baseman like I've been saying they should have done in February with Bregman. Go get a third baseman. Now, that's an easy fix. The more difficult, and the bullpen's also an easy fix. I know Cruz gets hurt. I know you talk about Leiter or whatever. You know, Loazaga is not being good, but they could go get an arm at the trade deadline. The difficult fix is how are you going to find a bat to protect Judge? You talked about that. And what are you going to do with Volpe? Like, that, they don't have a shortstop. Unfortunately, right now, the Yankees don't have a short. Even the catcher's interference nonsense with the scar.
Come on.
Dude, it can't keep happening. That's... I mean, it just can't. Those little things.
It makes it look worse.
And directly costing the Yanks yesterday. Directly costing Max Fried.
To a
point where he's got to work an extra batter. Then he walks somebody. Then he gives up the home run to Jimenez. You saw it also get them late with the catcher's interference. Like, that stuff can't happen. And against the Blue Jays, who are playing pretty well right now, and the Yanks are not, There's no margin for error, but I think they have some minor issues. The big issue could be their shortstop.
But I'm going to go back to the repercussions, and that does involve Anthony Volpe, more so with Mark Leiter. And listen, it's not meant to be disrespectful, but Mark Leiter pitches way too much, and Mark Leiter too often does not pitch well. And I've got to at least send the tone here. There's a message that's got to be sent that this is the Yankees, okay? And your point about, you know, how do you not have a third baseman with this payroll, basically, that's one aspect of it. And that could be addressed. But the other aspect of being the Yankees is that there was always an urgency. And I'm not pulling back into the days of George and Hal. I'm not even going there. But everybody knows what I mean. You know, I mean, Bobby Meacham was a first-round pick back in the day. He made an error. I think it was in Texas. George Steinbrenner literally walked in the clubhouse, said, we're shipping you out. And I know that those days are gone. And I'm never going to, unless it just got worse and worse, there's no way I believe Volpe should go to the minors. But right now, the hard reality of it is he needs a reset. And Anthony Volpe right now does not look like a major league shortstop. The excuse was for his intermittent hitting, right? Like the up and down nature to his hitting.
Right, great defense.
You know, we could justify it with, but he picks it all, and when he's on base, he's stealing base. He's stealing, this damn phone is driving me insane already. Right? So, I just pushed three buttons. Yeah. I couldn't find the right one. I finally got it. So, Anthony Volpe's got to sit, because I think if you do that, and I don't know downstream what impact it truly will have, but I know this. If there's not a bold move and sitting Volpe and cutting somebody like Leiter is bold to me, then it's just status quo and it's deemed acceptable. And the way the Yankees look right now is utterly unacceptable.
Okay, so let's be clear. Neither of us are concerned that we still think they're going to win the division. Whether they do or not, who knows?
I don't know that.
Oh, you're concerned about the team long term?
I'm not concerned about them making the playoffs. But remember, going into the season, I didn't think it was a lock that they'd be a division winner. Yeah, well, they jumped out to, they have a 6 or 7-game lead. I'm like, all right, better than I thought. Well, here we are. You're 11 games over 500.
So
the division's crowded.
I'm not going to go there yet. Now, I didn't think that they were as good. We've had this debate, and we can continue to have this debate until proven, whatever it may be. I definitively did not think the Yankees were better than they were a year ago getting the World Series. However, at this point, I'm not saying that, they're a bad team and they're going to get nipped by the Blue Jays, whatever. I think they'll make some moves, but I like your accountability thing, because that is something that has been lacking within the organization for years, starting at the top. When Brian Cashman has been allowed to assemble these teams year after year after year after year, and they keep doing the same things, launch angle, too many strikeouts, not playing the game the right way, there was no accountability there. What do you expect to change? Younger guys developing. Hey, they didn't want to send Volpe down a year, 2 years ago, let alone a year ago, or now, whatever it may be.
But I never felt that they should have. I know others disagreed. I never looked at somebody that was not a major leaguer, even when he was hitting 220.
But if Brian Cashman defended Volpe, which he did years ago, definitively.
With us, on our show.
And then you remember the clip that was going around yesterday on social media.
Which one?
Where it was the year after Volpe's rookie year.
All right, so 2024. It was last year.
Winter meetings.
Into last year.
Right, it must have been going into last year. Or maybe just the end of his rookie year.
Okay.
Joel Sherman was pressing Cashman. It was when Cashman got testy with the media.
I remember that exchange.
There was one specifically where it was like, it's 1 year. Maybe it's just a player underperforming for 1 year. You come back to me and ask me that same question at the end of year two when Volpe's a star. Okay, well, now we're in year three, and Volpe has gotten worse. He's only gotten worse. I'm not trying to pin this all on him, but the Yankees' lack of accountability starting at the top, where Hal's just like, okay, it's okay, we don't make it to the World Series. And then they do last year, okay, well, it's okay, we lose Juan Soto, and don't go all in on everybody else. Because their plan B, while it might have been sound, while it was good and adequate for some, it was never as all in as it could have been for the Yankees trying to build off of their first World Series appearance since 2009. So it starts with that, and then some of the younger players, if they're not performing, here you go. Here's enough runway, Glaber or Gary Sanchez or whoever else it may be, in this case Volpe, and there's nothing being done about it.
Well, here's what I don't understand, right? So sticking with – Leiter's just, a transactional move that might send a little ripple in the clubhouse, whatever. But Volpe's obviously the big play here.
Or just moving Jazz. Like, there are other things they could do.
That's true.
You can just keep rolling them out there and hope for the best.
Well, that's why I'm saying no. Yeah. I mean, I gotta sit him. I gotta sit him today. I wouldn't let him play the second game against Toronto. Now, you kind of wish that maybe you had the Pirates or the Reds or another of the White Sox, a fairly obscure in terms of rivalry or energy team, waiting for the Yankees after the Blue Jays series, right, rather than the Mets, where it's going to be absolutely nuts.
You got the Mets. They just got pounded by Pittsburgh. They're up next.
Luck with that bullpen today. Doubleheader. Oh, my God. Which, by the way, does not allow Clay Holmes to pitch on that Sunday against the Yankees. But we'll get to Mets-Yankees. We'll get to, obviously, Mets-Brewers later. Doubleheader today. The point is this, though. So I look at the way sports has gone, and we talked about...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
About this in the NBA starting years ago with Greg Popovich. Maintenance days, maintenance days, maintenance days, maintenance days. Well, maintenance days were used to basically protect the player's body. In this instance, whether you want to call it a bench or a mental respite, how about protecting the player from his mind? There is no way. And listen, whether it's Cash, whether it's Boone, whether it's the lowest level minor league roving instructor, they have forgotten more baseball than I will ever know. I read than our show combined, the station combined. That's their livelihood. That is their craft, and I respect it. But they have to see what we see. And I'm just talking about body language. Like right now, Anthony Volpe, he is drowning, and the Yankees are allowing him to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean. Throw the young man a life preserver, get him on the sand, get him a towel, get him something to eat, and then let him go back in the water. I'd sit him.
Yeah, and this is a bigger thing than just Volpe to me in just that one instance. This has been building for years with Brian Cashman. Also thinking, to your point, yeah, we know. Cashman has had that attitude. We know more than you think we know. We're smarter than you give us credit for. And they have the resume to say, well, look at how many years of the last 30 years.
Yeah, he's got some evidence there.
Okay, but then I can point back and say, well, you're the Yankees, and you're supposed to win with the resources that you have. You've been to one World Series since 2009, and that was with Juan Soto, who left. Like, that doesn't happen usually to the New York Yankees, and for whatever reason, it did. And it's not about him. It's about them building it out. Like, if George were alive, I don't want to go down that road either, but if
we all know what it means.
It means there would have been some accountability. And if at the very least, if not accountability, then they would have gone out there and spent bigger and better. Oh, okay. Soto, you're going to spurn us and go to the Mets? Then we're going to go get every superstar that's out there. Bregman, bring him in and go play third base. Yankees right now, again, it's not panic. Yankees right now going through a little rough stretch. It happens to everybody. But you can see flaws with the way the organization operates here.
Yeah, you can. You can. And we've pointed them out for a while. Yes. You know, and I'm just, it's crazy. I'm like, I took notes yesterday like it's a playoff game. Yeah. Like, and I always had the notebook, you know that. But there were just so many things. I didn't want to miss anything. And I'm writing some of this stuff down. And I'm not going to, you know, drown and bore everybody with a million pages here. But one thing that jumps out to me, because this is emblematic of a lot of things that are wrong with the Yankees. Top seven. All right, top seven, Yanks are down 4-2. Judge with the intentional walk, which, by the way, and we were talking about this yesterday, obviously, yeah. You were out.
Yeah.
But that's the 21st now that he's been walked. The Yankee record is 23, and that was during Mickey Mantle's season in 1957.
It's only going to get worse.
Go and ask Francesa what Mantle was doing in 57. It was pretty much what Judge is doing now to an extent. Like, that's how long it's been. The point is, they walk Judge, right? And then you have an ever by Clement who never makes errors. Then you have an ever by Vladdy at first base when he took his eye off the ball. Now, the Yankees scored two runs, and Judge was walked with first base occupied. So it's now first and second. You get two minor league, little league errors, and you only scratch out two runs. That's the inning that you got to put a five spot on the board and bury a team. And that's why I say that inning is very emblematic of a lot of the flaws of the Yankees. And they've got too many for my taste. I'm worried about them.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is calling from New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to talk about something I read the other day as far as the Yankees, you know, the Anthony Volpe shortstop issue. So somebody put something online saying that they think that maybe that they should try to acquire, Bobichet, I think it is?
Yeah, right.
From
Bobichet.
The Toronto Blue Jays,
yeah.
You know, because he's a free agent. And I don't know, you know, what you guys think.
Well, Toronto's not making a deal with the Yankees now. There's no way.
No, I'm saying for free agency, not because he's a free agent.
I'm worried about this year. John, I appreciate the big picture view, but John, we got some problems now, buddy.
Yeah. Without, they're going to have to go out and get somebody during the trading deadline. Either that has to get a third baseman or they're going to have to get a second baseman, hands down.
Yep, I agree. They need a third baseman and they need two relief arms. They need multiple moves.
But it's no surprise that they've needed a third baseman because you and I, our disagreement on it was that we both said they needed a third baseman. Mine was just, hey, go get Bregman now. Yours as well. They could go get one at the trade deadline. Fair enough. Okay, either way. Like, you think Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone don't think that they need a third baseman?
They do. And by the way, the reason why I was not high on Bregman for the Yankees is just the way where he hits the ball is. Yeah. That's why he does so well with Fenway with the OPS. Right. Pull happy, 37 feet.
Would have been
feet.
A lot of money, whatever.
You know, yeah, and he doesn't go to right field at all. Yeah. I mean, so that's where you get a lot of cheap home runs to right field. He doesn't do that.
All right, but now think about the alternatives. You could bring in Arenado, who they didn't like in the offseason. Right. Otherwise, they would have traded for him there, so I don't think it's going
to
be him.
Did they not like him, or did they not like the money attached to him? Like, they better start liking him, because Arenado changes the entire complexion of this team.
He might be their best option. Look, either way, a third baseman, you know, like a big league actual third baseman, doesn't need to be a superstar.
Yep.
Somebody that can field the ball, somebody that can put the bat on the ball. Yep. Yeah, Arenado would be a nice fit, whatever.
Hit 270.
Move Jazz to second. Okay, that solves one problem, but then what about the shortstop? I mean,
You just got to hope that Anthony Volpe plays his way out of it. I mean, I can't, and I said this yesterday too, like, we've had debates on his ceiling. I have never been concerned with his floor. But I'm starting to get a little concerned now, because now he's unraveling, which is why I'm saying the Yankees should sit him today and tomorrow. Just give him a little couple days off. I know he'd have to leave the hotel. He'd have to go to the yard. But I would even take – don't even take BP. But leave your glove, do a little jog, and stretch it up and watch for 2 days, right? But I do think now
– You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is.
Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, that the floor that I thought was not visible for Volpe is becoming a little more apparent because I think his head is a mess.
Dude, you know, I said it weeks ago about, all right, we got to call him a bust. Like, why is everybody afraid to say it? I, even with saying that, I'm with you. Like, I thought the floor was bad enough. You know, 225, whatever it may be. This is not good. Now it's gotten worse.
Leads baseball in errors at shortstop. And he's not hitting. And he's not running right now.
And looks like he's lost.
And that's my point. You got to protect. You've got to protect the young man from himself at this point.
Right, and then the reason why I said when he had callers talking about it last week, hey, maybe send him down, I was like, I don't know if you can do that because at this point, there's too much, like, it's year three. Imagine sending him down. That might do too much damage to him.
I wouldn't send them down.
But they
have another option.
They may not have a choice. Well, that is true, too, but
I still wouldn't send them down. I mean, I think it's a little different for a pitcher. Roy Halladay got sent down years ago with Toronto. Like, there is a roadmap to Vientos a year ago to get sent down and come back and do some damage. But again, I would sit him for a couple
of
days.
But it's not working here.
I hear you.
Mark is on Croton on the Hudson. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, BT, Sal. Thanks for taking the call. Love to take BT. Usually see eye to eye. Sal, I know you're a Yankee hater, but we're good. I think growing up, 37 years old, 96 team, was in fourth grade. So that Yankee run is definitely like cemented into my memories. But, like, when I turn around and watch the Yankees today, I cannot recognize the brand of baseball that they're playing. That I was great growing up, you know, raised to, you know, good defense, good hustle, picking guys up. I don't see that. I don't know if it's just me, but I'm just stating I hate their brand of baseball.
Mark, let me throw this at you. And I don't – yeah, I think we've got to – no, we're good.
Yeah.
I think that is kind of going around baseball. Like, now the Yankees have – issues that maybe some of the other elite teams don't. They also have pluses that some of the other elite teams don't. But when you bring up like the 96 Yankees and all the role players, obviously the stars as well, yes, the Yankees looked very different aesthetically then from how they do now, but so did baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's be fair, the game has changed and there's less emphasis on doing the little things, not just the Yankees.
Well, that's why I'm not overly concerned, is because we've been down this road before. This is the same thing last year. And the argument, like, I remember doing one show one day, I think it was when you were out, when you were filling in for Susan.
Okay.
And one show was, hey, Yankees just, they're not a good enough team. Like, they don't do things the right way, whatever. And the next day was like, hey, you know what the good news is? Neither is anybody else. There are no good baseball teams. Look at Toronto, the team that beat the Yankees yesterday, kicking the ball all over the place, giving the Yankees opportunities with stupid, silly minor league errors. So that's why I'm not going nuts about the Yankees. And we still know that even their worst is going to be better than most. But that's what lets them skate by.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability free, and that shouldn't be the case. They should have built a better team. They should be better. They should hold themselves to a higher standard and expect more. Not just, well, look at the American League, look at the AL East, look at how many wins we have. They should be trying to build a better team with a better brand of baseball, and they haven't done it for years.
And until they get there, that's why I'm sending an absolutely swift message where nobody needs to interpret. Volpe, you're sitting, and we're cutting lighter.
I'm assuming you saw that.
Yeah, the check swing, of course. And the night before, Boone was lighting him up in the dugout.
Right, so then I forget where I saw this. Might have been on postgame yesterday or whatever. But basically, like, it's not on, it is a little on Ascara. But Boone was saying that They go over certain batters that could be a problem.
I heard it.
So this is an organizational thing where these imbeciles, because it drives me nuts, and I'm sorry.
Tell us how you feel, Sal. Yeah,
they are trying to steal, because we've, like, enough with the framing and the stealing. They're putting a priority on trying to steal pitches to a point where it's costing them with catcher's interference. And they are aware of it to a point where they say which batters could potentially be a problem. Oh, this guy's, don't worry about it. So you could try to steal a pitch here. This guy maybe don't. And you're seeing it cost them in real time. Is it worth trying to steal pitches by extending and catching the ball sooner with all the catcher's interferences? Like, you clearly have a problem, but I'm not putting it on Ascara. I'm putting it on the Yankees for teaching this nonsense.
I can't stand it. It's an epidemic throughout baseball. By the way, you know, we talked about this with Francisco Alvarez a couple times when he was late getting the shin guards down, trying to steal a pitch. I mean, listen. You know, I know that when we were playing at this point, the dinosaurs were you know, maybe sitting in the stands watching us play. But if you caught, like, in the 80s or the 90s or even the early 2000s, you really had to, number one, you had to be a leader. You had to have some toughness back there, obviously. If you could hit, that's a big-time bonus. Depending upon how what level you played, like, a lot of coaches call their own pitches. But if you got to do that, you had to have the instinct. You had to have rhythm with the pitching staff. And those are all things that are non-negotiable for a catcher. But you got to block the balls and you got to throw guys out. And what I don't understand about this, and it's not just the Yankees, this shift in stealing pitches is that you are teaching a new generation of catchers to do something that won't matter as soon as the robot gumps come.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. Once and hopefully it's next year. And now, I've never been a proponent of the robo-umps. I am now. It's unfortunately the way the game has evolved.
I know what you mean, man.
It's necessary.
Yeah.
I was resistant.
Me
I didn't
too.
Want to replay.
Oh, it's not baseball. Yeah, no, we can't do that. I'd rather see that than the stupid framing stuff.
100%. Now you need it, and it would eliminate that nonsense trying to steal pitches and all that garbage. Plus, it would eliminate some of the bad calls. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the Yankees. Jeff is in the Bronx. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, what's up?
Hey, Jeff.
Guys, listen, all this problem is the Yankees' philosophy in the front office. There's a human element to playing baseball. The Yankees forgot about that. I mean, they don't believe in cold streaks. They don't believe in nothing. All they believe is what's in the back of your baseball cards. Look at Sonny Gray, for example, when he came here. He was horrible. He left the Bronx. He was Sonny Gray again. Some people are not meant to play in the Bronx. You know
what
I mean?
That's true. Okay, so we know that. But, Jeff, which players on this team do you feel are ill-equipped to handle the adversity, the pressure, the spotlight of the Bronx? I don't feel that really from anybody.
Volpe would be mine.
Volpe. No, listen. You got Volpe there.
Yep.
Volpe, I mean, this is like nuts. I mean, it's crazy. And you know what? This kid has so bad luck. The ball finds him every second, man.
That's what happens.
Crazy.
You can't hide.
Shortstop. I mean, I would hope so, and thanks for the call, Jeff. Yeah, the ball finds him. You put him in left field to try to hide him at first base. He's a shortstop. The ball's going to find him. I feel horribly for Volpe right now because I don't believe the Yankees put him in a position to succeed. He wasn't supposed to be their shortstop 3 years ago. He won the job in spring training. Yankees organization made a calculated decision to say, hey, you know what? We think he's ready right now. We think he's going to be a superstar. Let's go with him. And they did, and they let him sink or swim. Unfortunately, rookie year, he sank. Cashman doubled and tripled down.
Yeah.
Year two, not much better. And now year three, he is sinking. He is sinking badly. And it's not about ability. It's not that he doesn't have the ability. I think he's mentally all over the place right now.
Well, he is, but as I've said, he's got the ability. I mean, he's got quick hands, good feet, all that stuff. You know, his arm's not
quick
amazing, but it's accurate. Quick twitch guy, yeah. Not that quick on the bases this year.
No,
they've kind of figured out that little jump stop where he gets that, where he jumps in the air. He times the they've actually figured that out a bit. No, I know he has ability, but I also think he's got holes in his swing, which I've talked about a lot, which is why I don't think it's that he's overwhelmed by the specter of the Yankees. I just think if you're missing 94, 95, that's straight over the plate, that's more of a baseball thing than a mind thing. And the last, that's why I pushed back and asked the last caller, like Bellinger's not overwhelmed by the Bronx, Goldschmidt's not, Jazz not. I don't see that. I've seen that with other players over the years. Jack McDowell had that a little bit, Sonny Gray, and some others too.
A lot of the pitchers.
Carl Pomato, I think it's more pronounced with the pitchers, maybe not as much with the hitters. But now, think about the human nature of baseball. And we didn't love it, right? We knew it was baked in. We acknowledged that. I want to take everybody back to June 21st. You know what happened on June 21st? Well, I'm going to tell you, Yankees won 9-0. Specifically, you know what happened within the box score? What do you think I'm going to say? Volpe had three hits. What'd they do the next day?
Yeah,
they
sat him. I know.
You know what's happened since? 0-4, 1-4, 0-3, 0-1, 0-2, 1-4, 1-4, 0-5. So when he was approaching 240 and his OPS was kind of trending towards 750, he's now down to 225 with an OPS of 712. I don't know if that would have led to a little hit streak, but I'll tell you what, I would have liked to have seen the chance.
We all said at the time, too, it's just an asinine decision that the organization predetermined with Volpe. If I had to pick one word for why Volpe is struggling, and I think it's the most important thing in a lot of players, but specifically with Volpe, it's confidence. I think his confidence is shot. I think it's been wavering since he's been in the big leagues. He's trying to figure it out. Sometimes he has a little success and he's more confident. Then he starts to fail and he doesn't have that true confidence to find his way out of it. Mm-hmm. And now I think his confidence, whatever he did have, is completely shattered. How do you build that back up? The way to do it is to have some success. Well, how is he going to have success if his confidence is shattered? You either sit him down, like you said, BT.
Which is what I said. I'd sit in the rest of this Toronto series.
Hope for a reset when you get him back out there, or you send him down and reset him. That's the hard reset. And then you really find out what he's made out of. Mm-hmm. I don't know him personally, so I don't know how he would respond. What I do know is this. You're trying to win a World Series. You cannot keep running them out there at shortstop every day and getting this type of play and expecting to win a lot of ball games.
I don't disagree. The one thing at this point that I've got an abundance of confidence still with Anthony Volpe is an incredibly high level of character, an incredibly high level of care to be good at his job. You use the word confidence. I'm going to use the word overmatched right now. Hmm. It's to me, that's why it's a little worse and maybe a little more worrisome, because this is just me being consistent with what I view him as a hitter. Like, to me, it's not confidence. Like, if he was rocking and there were no flaws and nothing was pointed out, like the sliders outside or the fastballs, letter high, that he keeps missing or fouling back. To me, it's always been he's just a little less than as a hitter. And I think it's getting amplified by a lack of confidence, but I think it started from a being a little overmatched as a hitter.
Phil is calling from Massapequa. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Phil.
BP and Sal, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
Don't worry, Phil.
Good. Yanks obviously need an upgrade at third. The morning show is talking about Arenado. He's got two more years on his deal after this year. Mm-hmm. I think Arenado would not get us any closer to winning a championship this year. And then I'm going to hate watching the black hole of him playing for the next 2 years. I mean, we never cut these guys, Hicks, Gallo, now DJ. I don't want to bring on more dead weight for the next 2 years.
Do you still think he could field? Because he's an elite fielder still. Do you think that or no?
He could pick it for sure.
Okay. Isn't that a starting point? If you got him at third and you got Jazz at second, let Hal figure out the money.
Yeah. Well, what are the other options? You don't want to sit there and watch him the black hole. I get it. And maybe they don't want him either. But then what are your other options? You need a third baseman.
Bring back Gio. Bring back Urshela. We never should have got rid of him in the first place. Donaldson IKF trade was a disaster.
Oh, God,
go get IKF too.
Yeah. Let's
get Nettles on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, look, Phil, and thank you for the call. You want to get Urshela back? Fine. Guys want IKF? I guess fine. I'm not even saying I love the idea of Arenado. I don't necessarily love it, but what I do know is he's a different ball player than what the Yankees have.
Yeah.
Somebody who will put the bat on the ball. He's a proven pro, and he's a gold glove elite all-time defensive third baseman. So even if he's fallen off a little bit, he's still a true big league third baseman that might use the jolt of being in New York. And by the way, I'm not even so sure the Cardinals at this point are going to be looking to move him. And the Cardinals themselves are in the, last we checked where they were in the playoff mix. So why would the Cardinals, Cardinals are 47-40. Are they 4 games back in the NL Central? Are they going to be looking to really move Arenado at this point?
And if they are they going to be willing to eat as much money required for the Yankees to probably really get him from a realistic perspective? I'm looking at this right now. His range is still in the 80-plus percentile. Now, his arm strength's a bit diminished. He's not going to run. And by the way, as you indulge my geeky side for a moment, his K rate is 10%, which is very low.
Well, that's my
very
point.
Low. Puts the bat on the ball, and he's a great fielder.
That's exactly right. Something they don't have enough of. It's strikeout after strikeout after strikeout, and they're sloppy. Now, the other part of that is, if the Cardinals, or let's say the Cardinals are willing to move him, it's going to be, hey, you want him? Take the contract. The Cardinals aren't looking for better players in return necessarily.
Maybe young players. Maybe you can split the difference there where they maybe eat some money and they get a decent prospect.
Maybe there's a fine line. Point is, Yankees need a third baseman. Like, whether you want Arenado or not, or whether it's realistic from a Cardinals or Yankees perspective, the Yankees need a third baseman. That is a known fact.
Yep. No question.
And it's not just like, to me, it wouldn't be like, a bench player / third base. No, you already have that. Well, LeMahieu, some of the other options. And they might move LeMahieu back to third time. I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case. Jazz back to second and LeMahieu at third.
I'd like to see something here. The other thing somebody like Arenado does, now he can't field the ball for Volpe, but to have that reassuring veteran presence next to you, 25 feet to your right, at this point, it's probably better. I know he gets along with Jazz, and I love Jazz's energy, but Jazz is a mess right now at third base. So you got the entire left side. Arenado's only going to make third infinitely better and maybe help Volpe.
You know, I'm thinking this because it made no sense to me. And again, this is the Yankees do stupid things like IKF. Oh, yeah, he's a shortstop. I'm going to watch him. I'm like, no, he's not. So how could I see it better than their organization and their analytics? Gleyber Torres, oh, he's a shortstop. No, he's not. Wrong again. Yankees wrong again. I didn't understand. I just assumed. Now, this was my fault for assuming. I assumed when LeMahieu came back, they were going to put LeMahieu at third and Jazz back at second. Like, Jazz is a second baseman. He hasn't been bad at third.
His throws are becoming an issue, man.
Well, they're becoming an issue, but it's not like he was a liability or bad. He was fine there. So maybe their thinking was, let's see if we could get Jazz more acclimated to third and go get a second baseman.
Yeah.
Because the second base market is better than the third base.
And I said the same thing.
That would be the only thing that makes sense because initially I'm just thinking, oh, when LeMahieu comes back, not that I want LeMahieu here, but you move Jazz back to second, put the right piece in the right place, and for now you have LeMahieu at third and you go get a real third baseman.
Did you see DJ trying to score from first base on the double? I think that was Goldschmidt. I'm like, and that's, you just... Yeah, dude. Again, I'm going to try to bag on a proud veteran. But, man, I honestly thought I was watching Sunday Night Softball. Like, you obviously got to tap the brakes and hold him up. But the way he, like, tiptoed into third, it's just... This is not how you win a World Series, guys. Everybody knows it. Sal was off yesterday. I think you'll like this, especially since it ties into the hot pocket of baseball cards. So, did you see the post from FAN yesterday on Instagram about what the Yankees and Mets lineups were?
I did.
You did see the whole thing?
I didn't look through the whole thing, but I saw enough of it to get a feel for it,
Okay, so July 1, 87, obviously, yep. Susan Wolman, everybody knows this by now, historic day for everybody, set a new tone and a new trend. And 38 years ago, this was the starting lineup for the Yankees, ironically playing Toronto. So you had Ricky was the DH, Bobby Meacham at short, Mattingly, Winfield, Gary Ward, I remember him, my God, Claudel Washington, I don't like this team. Rick Cerrone, Paul Zuvella, Wayne Tolleson. This team sucks.
No, those are my Yankees. Good God. I remember those Yankees.
You like those guys, right? And Tommy John, who obviously was very good. Let's see what the Metsies trotted out there. July 1, 87, taking on the Cardinals. That was at the height of the Whitey Herzog, Tommy Herr, you know, great rivalry. Mookie in center, Tim Tuffel batting second. Keith at first, Carter, McReynolds obviously on the team now batting five. Our buddy Lee Mazzilli, Maz in right field, Hojo, Santana, Raffy, and El Sidsky on the mound, the big lefty.
I like the idea. We'll get to the bets coming up in a little bit, but I just like the idea of making a big move like McReynolds after having success in 86. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I think the Mets could use a move like that. And everybody always assumes like, oh, trade. If you're trading somebody who's somewhat productive, it's like, oh, you're breaking it apart. There can be an in-between where you trade somebody who's productive, but you just change it up a little bit, make the pieces fit a little bit better. All right, before we get back to the calls, BT, I teased this Cashman sound. So this was, I don't know if it was winter meetings or spring training. I think it might have been spring training. Either way, it was after Volpe's rookie year in 2023 and before the 2024 season. Listen to Brian Cashman. I think it was Joel Sherman who asked this question. Brian Cashman talking about Anthony Volpe coming off his rookie year.
Let's see. So Volpe kind of crushing it this year. are you going to be like, hey, I guess their development system does produce hitters?
I reviewed the movies in front of me. The movies this year weren't good.
Okay,
if
so
the
then
movies are good, so next year we'll have a different discussion.
All right, right? And then I can hear you say, you know what? Remember last year? I look forward to that. Yep. I look forward to you telling me that when Volpe crushes it offensively this year for us, that you'll say, hey, man, I guess your development program did a good job. And it was just sea legs under him his first maiden voyage year with not much triple Anders belt.
See, that's where I have an issue with Brian Cashman and the Yankees' development or lack thereof. His argument there, vehemently defending his player, and then we had Cashman on after that. We had him on last summer. We played that cut where I said I thought he was going to be a star. He said he thought he was going to be a star too. We're now in year three, so there's a whole year and a half removed from where Cashman was vehemently defending Volpe and his farm system development, and he even admitted saying didn't play much AAA, and he had to get his sea legs under him in his first year in the big leagues. Well, how's that worked out? This is not me trying to rip Brian Cashman or backing Joel Sherman. A matter of fact, of the two, I like Brian Cashman better than Joel Sherman. I just think he's a better person, but whatever. That's aside from the conversation.
Interesting insert there. I don't know Joel at all.
A little beef with Joel? Yeah, a little bit. He's sensitive on social media. Whatever it may be. I'm not trying to make it about that. Point is, it's about the Yankees and their lack of development. And Joel Sherman was proven correct, and Brian Cashman looks like he's got a lot of egg on his face, not just for Volpe, because to Joel's point, this has happened before. And how can you defend a player and then say he didn't have much AAA and he's getting his sea legs under him in his maiden voyage in the big leagues? Now fast forward to year three, he's gotten worse, Volpe has.
Well, he's gotten slightly better in certain statistical categories, but the defense has become alarmingly inconsistent. Now, there's two ways for me to frame that exchange. In the now or today, right? In real time, and I want to be fair to this, like if I'm Cashman, and that's a good question by Joel, aggressive reporter is what it is. How am I answering that if I just watched... You know, again, I know a lot of the numbers were not good. It's the 280, 28% on base percentage, sub 700 OPS, but 21 home runs, 24 steals, Gold Glove. I think that he was entitled to be a little defensive, while Sherman was entitled to ask the question because that has plagued the Yankees for a while. Not an out-of-bounds question, not an out-of-bounds answer for me. But now when you get to today... And you hear that, it obviously doesn't sound good for Cashman.
It wasn't a little sensitive from Cashman.
No, he was definitely, it bothered him.
Oh, it touched a nerve, and it touched a nerve because there's a lot of truth to it.
That's what I was going to say. When your wife picks something that you know is right, that she's right, and you know that she's right, doesn't it kind of hit you a little deeper?
Or vice versa.
Or you just walk away and ignore it? Or you say
about
her?
I'm saying when you pick something out.
No, 100%. Yeah. That's just human nature. Yeah. Like, when we hear something that deep down we know is true, we're going to get aggressive and we're going to defend. That's just called self-preservation. That's what happens.
But don't you then think, forget about the battle there or even specific to Volpe, but don't you, and they're doing the same thing with Dominguez, which is what I've been saying for months. Now, maybe he comes out of it. Maybe Dominguez is a different animal.
Dominguez looks a whole hell of a lot better than Volpe does. I think you got to change like the way you view Dominguez and to associate or lump it right in with Volpe. I think that's unfair with Dominguez. Dominguez playing pretty well.
What I'm saying is it's the same format. It's the same formula for development.
Not getting a lot of AAA, like calling them up. And
they're doing the same exact thing. He didn't have any seasoning in the minor leagues. They're calling him up, throwing him to the Wolves, letting him get his sea legs under him. Now maybe Dominguez handles it differently. And right now, he looks like a better offensive player than Anthony Volpe. I still don't trust him defensively. He's been fine, but Dominguez is nowhere near what he was supposed to be.
No, not yet. I agree with that. Now, but he's certainly functional, he's not the star.
Right, now can he get there? So we're supposed to say, okay, well, these potential stars are going to continue to develop and get their legs under him in the big leagues. Or maybe they need more seasoning in the minors. Like the Yankees just screwed this up with Volpe to name one, and they're doing the same exact thing with Dominguez. Maybe the result is different. Maybe it's not. And maybe it's just like every other guy not named Aaron Judge that the Yankees have had in the last several years.
Well, think about this, and it's not apples to apples, but I think it's interesting. So Rick Pitino's known as much as anything as a Hall of Famer, player development, right? So when somebody transfers to St. John's, you know, a big time, whether it's Ian Jackson, whomever it might be from Carolina, you just know that once he gets on campus, and they're already there, Rick Pitino, what he's done for 20, 30, Donovan Mitchell, and many others, they rave about his player development. So that reputation, positive one, has followed him around. And you would expect these young players this year, St. John's, to get better. Whereas with the Yankees, it's the opposite. Because they don't have that traction. They don't have that track record. It's very hard to sit there and say, all right, you know, I believe that this player is going to get better because the evidence is underwhelming or overwhelming in the other direction. But let me at least flip this to you fast, because there was a point, and we try to avoid George money again. But there was a point where I was very frustrated as a Yankee fan, saying, could you give this kid a little runway, man? And could you give him more than one start on the mound or more than 9 at-bats before you see a ship him back to Columbus?
Right.
So now the answer is probably somewhere in between. There's got to be a better balance. But let's also not forget, for years, and we were screaming about, maybe not on FAN because I was a kid. I was. It bothered me in the schoolyard. I promised when I talked to my buddies, I'd like to see this kid play. They never let him do it. So there is an alternate universe that also didn't work, but you got to find balance.
Correct. Steve is calling from New Hyde Park. What's up, Steve?
Hey, BT and Sam, what's up, guys?
What's
How
up,
you doing?
Steve?
Hey,
good.
Steve.
Good.
We're good.
Good. I just want to let you know, I feel like the Yankees continue to keep playing players out of position. They don't have a third baseman, a shortstop, or a backup catcher, which leads to the turning point of the game yesterday. I feel like it was the catcher's interference call in the seventh inning.
Oh, yeah.
On the check swing.
Yeah, sure.
That caused the Yankees where Springer hits the grand slam and then it all goes downhill from there. My question to you guys, I feel like, do you feel the Yankees are doing a disservice to Aaron Judge and wasting his prime years not building a winning team around him? Do you think the Yankees are just never going to win a World Series?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, Steve, and it's a great question, really the question. I mean, that's every conversation about the Yankees is really rooted in trying to get that answer. And until they win, the answer remains no. Now, I think that's a little unfair to the Yankees, because Aaron Judge, at the very least, has been put in a position basically every year to be in the playoffs. Now, he's got to start carrying the mail and start hitting there once he gets there. This is not like, I don't look at it quite the same as maybe the Knicks' inability to surround Ewing with a secondary star, or even Mattingly when they had no pitching but they had good hitters. It's not that. But it is true to say that they're not maximizing Aaron Judge's prime. That I'll say.
Here's the counter to that, though, and this is where I would defend the Yankees. When they've gotten to the postseason, Aaron Judge has been nowhere near what he's been in the regular season.
No, that's what I just said. No question about it.
So that's not a Yankees lack of building around Judge issue. That's a Judge issue in the postseason. If Judge was himself in the postseason the way that he is in the regular season, or even something close to that, maybe they would have broken through. I don't think and it's also different in baseball, like to your point with the Knicks, where it was so clear that they needed one more star to complement Ewing. In baseball, it's different. Like, you need a whole team to be able to get through these series. And by the way, the Yankees have been able to get away with this, whether it's lack of development or not having another guy to protect Judge, whatever it may be, because they win. They win all the time. Even in a bad year, they have 90 wins or whatever it may be. They're never under 500. They're in the playoffs almost every single year. And some would argue that, well, after they got to the Game 7 of the ALCS in 2017, they brought in Giancarlo Stanton. What better backup to Judge than Giancarlo Stanton? I didn't like it the way that it fit. I still don't like Cashman's philosophy and the type of players, but I don't think it's specific to, well, they can't build around Judge.
You know, it's nuts. The expectations are really almost unfair to the Yankees.
Yeah,
now, they created them because they are very successful. And I just mentioned St. John's, but take a program like Kansas or Carolina. I remember most of the century, the emptiness with St. John's and others. I'm like, God, I would sign up for 25 wins. All right, so what? You got knocked out in round two. Big damn deal. You know, you were a top 2-3 seed, and you're relevant. And, like, that's kind of the Yankees now, where, you know, they're top 2 seed, top 3 seed. They get there, but they don't get to the Final Four. When they do, they lose it. Whereas, you know, I mean, the Kansas fans and Carolina fans are saying, this ain't good enough. Just like the Yankee fans are saying, this is not good enough. So it's all relative. And anything that we say about the Yankees is always relative, but the biggest issue, I know we got to wrap up the hour. The biggest issue is that it seems to be the same issues.
That's my issue with it. It's a curve. I hate the Met-Yankee argument. Like, oh, you say something bad about the Yankees. Like, oh, the Mets sucked in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I'm not talking about the Mets. I'm talking about the Yankees. Can you stay on top?
Oh, we'll talk about those Mets, don't you worry.
They got their own issues, but it's a curve. Is it unfair? Maybe, but they've earned that curve. And that's
right.
A good thing.
I agree.
But they have to now finish the job. And my biggest gripe is that I feel like they got worse from where they were a year ago.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.